Good evening. This is the third class on the Megillas Esther. We are up to Perek Beis. Today we'll do a few psukim, and these are very fundamental psukim in the Megillah, as we're going to see. Okay, Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Achar hadvarim ha'ela k'shoy chamas ha'melech ha'chashverosh. After these events, when the anger of Achashverosh cooled, Zochar es Vashti, he remembered Vashti, Ve'es Asher Asasa, and that which she had done, Ve'es Asher Nigzar Leha, and that which had been decreed upon her. Right? Most of the Mepharshim understand this is sort of a nostalgic remembering of Vashti. He cooled off, he wasn't so angry anymore, and now he starts thinking about his wife Vashti. And the story that had happened and what had happened to her. The questions, there are a couple of obvious questions here. First of all, if it's a nostalgic kind of remembering, that he's remembering his wife fondly and missing her, so why is he also recalling Esa Shera Asasa, that which she did? And what does it mean, that which was Nigzer Aleha, unless he was starting to think that maybe what she did wasn't so bad, and the punishment sort of was too intense, it didn't fit the crime. So that could be the pshat and why he's remembering the negative incident. But the bigger question is, what does it mean, Esa Shera Nigzer Aleha, it was decreed upon her, as if some outside force had decreed it. He decreed it. He was the king. He made this final decision, especially once Haman sort of trapped him into having to make his own decision, like we spoke about last week. So Achashverosh made decisions. What does it mean? Hashem nigzer aleha, as if some external force, which wasn't his fault, Nebuch, the poor guy. Well, what's he kvetching about? So the Gemara actually says, darshan's the words, Esa Shera Sasa. In other words, Pashtub Shad is like we said, what she had done wrong, and the gzera that happened to her. But the Gemara just adds and says like this, Kishem she'asasa kach nigzer aleha. Just like she had done, so too was nigzer on her. Meaning that this story was a mida keneged mida. That, as we know, Vashti, the Gemara says, she was an anti-Semite, and she made the Jewish girls work for her, and specifically she had them work for her, unclothed, and working on Shabbos. Those were the two ways that she made them, she hurt them. So the Gemara says that's the mida keneged mida. Kashem she'asasa kach nigzer aleha. She did to them, so too is nigzer on her. So the Gemara just says nigzer aleha. It doesn't explain exactly how the mida keneged mida works, but it's really obvious because the way Vashti died was by being commanded to come in front of the king. Not only that, as we spoke about, it was the seventh day, and it was the Medrash says that it was Shabbos. Gemara says there was Shabbos. So it was the perfect mida keneged mida. She made the Jewish girls come to work for her on Shabbos. And she made them come work unclothed on Shabbos. Achashverosh commanded her to come unclothed. And when she refused, it was decreed upon her that she would get killed. The decree was that she shouldn't come to him anymore, but essentially it meant that she would get killed, and that's actually what happened. So the Esa Shera Nigzer Aleha, although it seems like sort of an indulgence of Achashverosh that he didn't want to take the blame, he's sort of blaming, you know, the world for Vashti, but actually he was correct, and that's why the Megillah writes it this way, because he actually was not the one that was Geizered. He, technically in this world, he made the Gzera, but like everything else in the Megillah, was really the Yad Hashem, and Esa Shera Nigzer Aleha was directly related to Esa Shera Asasa, that which she had done to the Jewish girls. Now, as an interesting little extra aside, there's a famous, well, I'll start like this. On Shabbos, one of the brachas, one of the psukim that we say in Kiddush on Shabbos, Mazachas Yom Shabbos Akashay, Shazam Shabbos, right? Ato Vincha, you and your sons, Vitecha, and your daughters, Avdecha, Amosecha, your servants, uvehemtecha, and your behemoth, vegercha asher b'sharecha, and the ger who is in your gates, within your gates. Thus, there's a chiyuv on Shabbos that you have to remember it and so forth and keep it. Who has to keep it? You, your children, your servants, your behemoth, and the ger asher b'sharecha. So, somebody once asked me, obvious question, why does it say people, your children and your avadim, then it says your behema, and then the ger? Why does it say behema? The chiyuv shmir Shabbos of behema is clearly not bigger than that of a ger. So why does it put behema before ger? You don't want to put down the ger and say they're less than behema. It's mamash not true. The Torah makes it very clear that the ger are a full-fledged part of Klal Yisrael. So why does the pasuk write it in this order? So I'll tell you after Pashat, just Pshat in the Pasuk, but now I'll tell you the answer that somebody wanted to say. There's a Psikta Rabasi that tells the story of a Jewish person that owned a para, owned a cow. And one day he sold this cow to a guy, and the guy came back to him after a couple of weeks and says, look, the cow is fine, she's wonderful. There's only one problem. She doesn't work on Shabbos. She obviously is a Jewish cow. He trained her not to work on Shabbos. Every seventh day, she takes off. It's a mekach tois, I want my money back. So the Jew went to the para and whispered something in the ear of the para. And he tells the guy, try again. Now I think you'll see that it'll be fine. So the guy goes home, a little skeptical. And the next Shabbos, he tries to work with his animal, and lo and behold, the animal performs. It works on Shabbos. Comes running back to the inn, and he says, wow, it's amazing. She's working fine. What did you tell her? I'm like, what is magic? And he said, well, I just told her that as long as she belongs to a Jew, she's forbidden to work on Shabbos, and that's why when she was by me, she couldn't work on Shabbos. Now she belongs to a guy. There's no chiv for her to rest on Shabbos. It's a chiv that depends on the owner, not on the animal. So she went to work. So it says that the guy was so nispal and so impressed with the power of Shabbos and the emes of Torah that a command like that could filter into an animal's consciousness in such a way that he was megayer. Says the Ramami Panu. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the story of the Gemara. So the person wanted to say as follows, that could be the Pshat and Pasuk. It says, Bincho vitecho avdecho v'amosecho uvehem techo v'gercha asher b'sharecha. Why does it put behema before ger? Because it wants to tell you that this is meramis to this story that it's going to happen one day, where through a behema keeping Shabbos, it led to gercha asher b'sharecha. Nice, cute pshat. So, I wanted to say that it's more than a cute pshat. The Ramami Panu says that about this story, says, who were these actors in the story? Who were these players? He says like this, the Yehudi, the Jew who owned the para, was Mordechai Yehudi, the Gilgal, or an Eber of Mordechai HaYehudi. The Goy was Achashverosh, and the Para was Vashti, and each one had to play their role. And what happened was that Mordechai HaYehudi, through the story of the Para, was Makar of Achashverosh. You understand that even the bad people in Tanakh, generally the Neshamas come from a high place. They're not Stam. Neshamas, Stam people can't do great amounts of bad were great amounts of good. So obviously there was some chance for a tikkun for the neshama of Achashverosh, and the tikkun was that he eventually became a Jew by virtue of this story of Mordechai Yehudi influencing him. The para was Vashti. Again, you see a tremendous mida keneged mida of what we spoke about in our pasuk. Vashti, who had made the Jewish girls work unclothed and on Shabbos, came back as a para, which is unclothed and specifically unclothed with the udder visible to everyone. And she was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim through not working on Shabbos. So that was a tikkun of sorts for her neshama as well. That's what it says in the Ramami Panu. So now the story gets even better. And I was moisif that it gets even better. Because the gematria of the words, Behemtecho, Begercha, Asher B'sharecho, is exactly the gematria of Mordechai, Achashverosh, Vashti, the three players in this drama. One of the oilim was Meir, that could be Begercha, Asher B'sharecho, what's B'sharecho specifically? B'sharecho refers to, again, another reference to Mordechai, which was Yeshe B'shar HaMelech. So that's just a little hakdoma into this week's share.